Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kean. Today we'll discuss the article by Bossi et al. Titled, Low Carbohydrate, High Fat Diet Lowers Blood Pressure in Spontaneously Hypertensive Rats. This article published online April 19, 2013. My guests today are Editor-in-Chief Bill Stanley, Lead Author Thunder Jalili, and expert June Wren. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. Hypertension remains a major public health problem. In terms of dietary recommendations for these patients, really don't have much except to recommend a low sodium diet. In general, for preventing cardiovascular disease, over the last 30 years, there's been a switch, really, from recommending a low-fat diet to recommending a higher fat intake and lower intake of refined carbohydrates. And this has been really pushed in the popular press with many popular books and in the media. In this study, what Bossi et al. Looked at was the effects of eating a non-obesogenic high-fat diet and comparing it to a standard high refined carbohydrate diet. Thunder, you want to tell us what you learned from this study?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. Basically, the take-home message that we got from doing this study is that for the first time using these experimental animals, we found that reducing carbohydrate intake to about 20% of calories reduces blood pressure in a hypertensive model. The mechanism for that appeared to be through a combination of better vascular function. And what I think is kind of noteworthy about this is we didn't approach it from the standpoint of completely eliminating carbohydrates like many of the popular diets in the media always talk about. You know, we still had 20% of our calories coming from carbs. If you compare that to Atkins and other famous ones, they are pretty restrictive, usually 20, 30 grams a day from carbohydrates in humans, which is very, very low, just a few percentage of calories. To just recap real quick, the vascular changes we did see, you know, we did find that there was a combination of better endothelium-dependent relaxation and less contraction as well in vessels when these SHRs, these hypertensive rats, were fed the high fat. And we actually didn't see any big changes in the normotensive animals. So this appears to be something that's kind of isolated towards hypertensive animals.
So, June, what are your thoughts? Why do you think the high fat causes improved vascular function and lowers pressure?
First of all, I want to congratulate Thunder and the co-author for the very innovative work. But like Thunder indicated, this work probably has created more questions than it has answered. So I guess from my perspective, probably say that ENOS or endothelium-dependent relaxation could be, a highly possible target for this low-carb, high-fat diet intake-induced improvement. But I guess there are many other possibilities as well. I'm just going to name a few. For example, is this altering the energy ATP, for example, homeostasis in the vasculature? Whether this low carb simply would lower the sucrose content, and whether this low carbs is perhaps a reductions of the overall carbon hydrate, like the authors have discussed. So I'm just kind of giving you the first. One I could easily suspect is probably the ATP homeostasis, and there could be an endothelium-independent mechanism as well. I guess anytime we change fat and the sugar content, we are manipulating the mitochondria function.
You know, I was just thinking in terms of the effects of high-fat, low-carbohydrate on muscle, and just as pure speculation, you know, we did find some evidence that the endothelium-independent function was better in animals that had the low-carb, high-fat diet. So that may be a result of some sort of, you know, metabolic changes due to different substrate utilization in the smooth muscle. you know, that surround the vasculature. So that may be, you know, some direction that can be pursued as a more specific mechanism down the road as well.
Thunder, looking at your diet, you know, you have a lot of lard in there. That's your main addition. You have the same amount of soybean oil, and then you add lard, which also even has some cholesterol in it. So you certainly didn't add the best fat that you could you would think, like olive oil or something like that. And the type of fatty acid that you eat has a big effect, particularly on the membrane phospholipids. You know, you could have fish oil or different long-chain, highly unsaturated fats, that kind of thing. What do you think the role of the type of fat played in your results? And what would you speculate would happen if you had, you know, some long-chain polyunsaturated fats or olive oil, like high in oleate?
That's a real interesting question. And the diet choice we made, so we didn't actually make the diets. We ordered these commercial diets, and this was just how they were made. And when we started the study and we started to see effects, we just kept going with the same diet as we ran now because we didn't want to change things in mid-voyage. But anyway, so the lard is, you know, as you know, a combination of monounsaturated and saturated fats primarily. I mean, you know, most people off the street think lard is just, you know, just like butter, just pure saturated fat. It's not. It's probably about half unsaturated fat. You know, if we change that to a more polyunsaturated profile, if we added the fish oil, I think we would have had probably some more dramatic effects. You know, some of the work that you've done, Bill, has shown the beneficial effects of fish oil. So I would predict maybe we would have some more beneficial effects on blood pressure and maybe even some independent effects on cardiac hypertrophy. Regarding the olive oils, I don't know. I don't know if that would really change anything if we added more monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fat. This diet in itself, because of the fact that it was 50% lard in terms of calories, that's comes out to be somewhere around, 20-25% monounsaturated fat. That's still a pretty high proportion. So increasing that, I don't know if that would really make a difference in the final result.
June, you know, you published an AJP a number of years ago, what I think is a classic observation, that you observed cardiac dysfunction and pathology in mice that were fed a high-fat diet and made obese. But in the same strain, when you limited food intake and fed a high-fat diet, there was really no problem. And the whole point here that I'm trying to make is that obesity is pretty bad for the cardiovascular system, but a high-fat diet per se is neutral or beneficial. Do you agree with that, June? Because you kind of kicked the door open on this issue a number of years ago.
Sure. And Bill, the paper you were indicating published in AJP in 2008, we did a more of a aggressive caloric restriction to match the weight of the lean group or the low-fat group. So I guess it depends on how much weight gain from high-fat diet we're talking about. If we are talking about a complete reduction or a prevention of a high-fat diet-induced weight gain, it is beneficial no matter how long the mice are fed with a high-fat diet. But if we are only doing the partial restriction to prevent the weight gain by a small percentage, we may not see that beneficial effect.
Thunder, June, thanks for a very interesting conversation about this important and clinically relevant paper. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.